This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. Studies show students who receive social and emotional instruction have improved academic achievement. The United Way has a new assessment test to measure social-emotional skills called the Devereux Student Strengths Assessment. Joining me to talk about it are United Way of Greater Cincinnati Community Impact Director Patricia Nagelkirk and Director of Kentucky Operations for the Boys and Girls Club of Greater Cincinnati, Bill Bresser. We'd like to hear from you, too. You can call us at 513-419-7100 or email talk@wvxu.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
So I want to know, how do you define social and emotional instruction, development? How do you define all of that? And we'll start, Patty, go ahead, Patricia.
Social and emotional competency and instruction is a broad-based frame for things like soft skills. If you're a small kid in a classroom, you're going to think about things like, can they be cooperative? Can they follow directions? Are they responsible? If you think about your colleagues in the workplace, you're thinking about things like, can they manage their emotions? Are they aware of what's going on around? Can they work in teams? So when we think about social and emotional competence, it's basically the soft skills that make us solid human beings, able to succeed in school and life and to give back to the community.
Bill?
Exactly. I agree completely. It's all about behavior. And as Patty alluded to, as we measure this stuff and look at it, it's about the behavior in the child, but it translates to the workplace. Again, can you show up for work on time? Can you work together as a team? Can you solve problems? All employers are looking for someone who can read and comprehend and do math and things like that. But are you able to work as a teammate, as a team member? Can you get along with others? It's all those intangible things that are very tough to measure, but that's what the Devereux Student Strengths Assessment does.
Where do we learn those skills? Where do we get them?
For most children, they come from the home and the family. What's modeled for you? The beautiful part about these skills, though, is they can be taught. They're not intrinsic character values. So it's how you're raised, it's what you envision, and it's how you're treated by the adults around you.
And what are you finding when you're starting to do these assessments? What kinds of things do you do? How long do they take?
The fantastic part about the assessment is that it's really quick to do. But before we go into the tool, I think what might be interesting for you and your listeners is to know that our youth development programs have been working in this space for probably the last 20 years. We've long known the importance of these skills, but we hadn't selected together a good way to measure it. So what this tool is doing is it's allowing us to measure 8 specific scales that turn into a social-emotional composite. Most of our programs are doing a screen called the DESA Mini. It takes about 2 minutes, and the staff or the teachers are answering easy questions like, how often did you see the child describe how he was feeling? How often did you see him or her forgive somebody when they were hurt? And how often did you see them follow the example or accept responsibility of others? So the staff who are doing it are thinking about what they've seen in the last 4 to 8 weeks, and then they simply rate it saying it was strongly agree, or frequently. Bill could probably tell you the exact terms on it, and it's over the last 4 to 8 weeks.
Do the teachers really remember, or the instructors really remember over that time? How many kids are we talking about?
Well, for Boys and Girls Club, we're talking about it was about 1,200 this past year across 11 sites. And yes, they really do remember.
And how many teachers for those 1,200
kids?
Oh,
man. We maintain 1 to 15
Okay,
staff
so it's not like one person's trying to do 50 kids.
No, that's not how we do it anyway. But so one teacher may have 20 to 25 kids that come on a rotating basis, and they have that 1 to 15 staff to member ratio. So they really do have that deep interaction with those kids. It's essentially small group mentoring. In the DESA, I think they've asked us to have known the kid for at least a month.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the baseline. So we get to know the kids. Plus, we do the assessments 3 times per year. So 3 times during the school year. Actually, we're doing them right now in January as our mid-test. So not a whole lot of time has gone by in between the tests, not so much to where you've forgotten. So it's kind of always in our faces, and we've kind of built this into our culture where we talk about it in our biweekly meetings. So using these results, you know, how do we change our programs? How do we address some of the things that we're seeing with the kids that fall into the need category?
So what do you do with this information when you get it? I'm sure you have children who are all over the scale.
We do have children who are all over the scale. The results actually put kids in three different categories. Strengths, and you would expect about 16% of the population to be in strength. Then about 63 to 68% are in typical. And the authors say they picked the word typical because what parent wants to think about their kids is average. And then about 16% of the kids who are in need. What we saw in our programs was kids were all over the map. And we didn't really know what to expect from baseline. Some programs were very surprised at how many kids were in strength. Others were very surprised about how many kids were in need. We haven't made any interpretations about whether some programs are more valuable than others. We just did the first year of data. Our plan long term is to figure out what's most effective at raising kids' scores. We know if kids are in typical or strength, they are going to be much more likely to achieve the academic and lifelong goals that we want them to get to.
Mm-hmm. What kinds of things would a teacher observe in a student who was in need? What would they see or not see, for that matter, that you know that, gosh, there might be some issues here?
Well, basically, they'd be looking at kids not getting along. We're talking about poor behavior. So not wanting to participate in activities, not getting along with others, sometimes acting out in a violent manner, not being able to make good decisions, things like that. And again, to Patty's point, we're really trying to find a way, the best way to interpret this data so we can enhance our programming. A lot of that's most likely going to come through partnerships with other agencies that do the same things that we do. But really targeting those kids that fall into that need category, at least this allows us to see that information and then compare it to the scales and see how we can change our program and model it to that specific child, give them more responsibility, pair them with a mentor, possibly, things like that.
We're talking about the United Way's new assessment test to measure social-emotional skills. And joining me are United Way of Greater Cincinnati Community Impact Director Patricia Nagel-Kirk and Director of Kentucky Operations for the Boys and Girls Club of Greater Cincinnati, Bill Bresser. The phone number, if you have a question or a comment, is 513-419-7100. You can email your questions to talk@wvxu.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. So you get this information and you find that there are concerns. And what are you going to do with all of this once you have it? I mean, you said you're still sort of looking into exactly what's happening. But what do you do now if you find a child who really is in need? What do you do?
It varies from agency to agency. So we're here with Bill, who can give you the Boys and Girls Club perspective, but there are another 20 agencies, and each one of them has taken a slightly different approach. Some, if you think of a mentoring organization who works very closely with parents, can do different things than an after-school program that might be serving 100 children. Mm-hmm. What we've encouraged our providers to do is to think with intention about not just the kids who are in need, but kids in any category. What the tool can do is it's considered prevention. And if we can catch some things early and we can build protective factors, then kids are going to be less likely to act out. Some of the terrible stories that you hear in the news, things around bullying and violence and decisions kids make, are likely because they don't have these types of protective factors in place. And so I would say that for every agency is doing it a little bit differently. And Bill, you might want to talk about what you're doing at Boys and Girls Clubs.
Sure. Yeah, we become a little more intentional about all of this stuff. That's what's great about the tool, is because I think we've always talked about this, but we've never used this vernacular. We've never actually had something to measure this before that we can actually quantify. And with that information, what we've done is become more intentional about things like rewarding good behavior. And we've actually seen that that works instead of punishing the negative behaviors. We've obtained a lot more volunteer mentors to interact with our kids one-on-one. We target the members that fall into that need category for service activities. We found that those, you know, giving them responsibilities at the club gives them a sense of worth, which has been fantastic. And we've seen vast changes in their behavior when they've been given responsibilities. And they rise to the occasion almost always. And, you know, targeting those kids to actually lead activities and aid the staff, you know, to help build some of these social-emotional skills. So, yeah.
It seems to me that some of these skills are, to some extent, are innate, and maybe that's not true. Maybe they really are just learned at home, but some kids tend to be friendlier than other kids, and some are more caring than others, and that's just sort of how some children are. How do you go about, then, really teaching someone to be more caring, more aware of the world around them. It seems to me that could be difficult.
You are absolutely correct that that can be difficult. Fortunately, we have some good models to look at. There is some work in our early childhood area where they've gone in and worked directly with the staff. So we could coach staff in different things they can do. One really good example is to focus on a child's strengths. Even the kids who are in need are going to have one or two areas where they're doing really well. And talk with the kid about that and figure out how to play on those strengths. If you're doing well in this area, how can you translate it in other places?
Give me an example. I mean, give me an example of, without naming names or anything, but of a child maybe that is good. What would that one thing be they might be good at even if they are considered a bully?
Well, a lot of times what we've seen in our program, and again, we're just kind of getting our legs underneath us with a lot of this stuff, but you'll see a kid who's great at art. We see this a lot, who acts out quite a bit. So how can you – we used to call it the one-minute miracle. This is, again, old Boys and Girls Club talk, but where you find something that they're good at and you ask them about it repeatedly. And not only that, but you build your program around that behavior that they're good at. So you can translate, you know, being good at art into a service activity where the kids are actually making cards for troops or learning how to care about, you know, people who serve their communities and care about others. So you can translate that artistic ability into actual discussions about some of these social emotional scales.
I'll give you another example. So self-awareness is one of the scales in the DESA. And that includes, do you know how you're feeling? And so if you have a child who's good at understanding how he's feeling, but terrible at decision-making, what you might do is find an example where he made a poor decision and say, let's talk about what you were feeling then. And so for a young child, even the ones who get anxious, if they know that when they're feeling anxious, they make a terrible decision, you can start to put the feeling and the behavior together and you can teach kids very tangible skills like, okay, when you're feeling anxious, do you need to just step outside? Do you need to talk to your staff? What do you need to do to calm down?
And is this really just with kids or do you find, I mean, how old are the oldest ones that you test? I mean, I'm assuming it's with very young kids, but do you go into the teens as well?
The tool is designed for K through 8th grades, and we have some kids who are older, you know, 14, 15, even some 16-year-olds who are still in 8th grade. The authors have not yet made a tool for the high school population, but if they did one, we would probably use it. You'd be surprised that the same skills that you need in kindergarten are actually the same skills you need at 10th grade and even at age 40.
What was that, a long time ago, that poem or whatever, you know, with everything I ever needed to learn, I learned in kindergarten. Mm-hmm. What role do parents play in all of this or guardians in these instances? Do you bring them in as well to help with this? Or do you find ever that, gosh, the child goes home and their parents are not so good at knowing how they feel? Is it sort of a cycle?
Parents play a huge role in this. Not necessarily the implementation of the actual assessment, but they play a huge role in social emotional competencies, no doubt. You know, this information, obviously, we don't share the specific results of the Devereaux Student Strength Assessment with them, not yet anyway. We haven't crossed that bridge yet. However, our staff are constantly talking to the parents whose kids display some of these negative behaviors or aren't as strong in the positive behaviors as measured on the assessment. So certainly the parents play a huge role. And of course, we've had a lot of dialogue around those outside variables that can affect this assessment. I mean, obviously, we have a lot of influence over the kids that come to our programs every single day, 5 days a week. However, there are outside variables that can affect social emotional competencies, like you know, if the parent has another child, or if somebody loses a job or gets sick. You know, and we're looking at that data and to try to find out, you know, how do those outside variables affect this as well.
And are those really aren't controllable in many instances, mm-hmm. if somebody loses their job or is ill or something like that. So you have to find a new way to work with these kids to work around that?
Exactly.
And it's just to be aware of it, to teach the adults. And in some parts across the country, you have schools who have embraced this and infused it into their classrooms. And so understanding that these skills are as important as teaching reading and writing – and having adults around being able to understand you cannot learn as well when you have those terrible things that are happening in the home and community. So just being sensitive to it. Mm-hmm. You're right. We can't control for it. Our goal is not to have 100% of our kids at the strength category at all times because youth development's uneven. Kids are going to go up and down, and that's normal, and that's how we are as well. I've had great years and bad years.
Yeah, we go up and down. But, you know, you're right. I mean, to recognize especially those dips, what's going on, and this is a tool to help you do that. And if there is one of those outside variables that's happened, that's when you can partner. I mentioned collaborations and working with other agencies. That's when you can reach out and say, well, you know, this family or this child needs some assistance that we can't give, but you've been able to recognize it through some of these tools and actually help the family, you know, get back on their feet or succeed.
Now, this is a new test. Is it? It's you've not had it for a long time.
We have. It was probably developed maybe 3-4 years ago. The United Way partners started it in the 2012-13 school year. So we have 1 year of data, and all we did was say, "Let's give it a try." And so 20-plus agencies said, we'll try it as long as we can be flexible and as long as you don't penalize us from our funding stream. So we said we all want to learn together.
And so in doing that, you've been doing it now for – tell me again, how long?
We started in the fall of 2012.
2012. So do you find that it has been helpful since you've had this information? Have you noticed a real difference in how you're able to deal with some of these kids?
You know, we're still learning how to figure out what all the information means. We got that first year of baseline data, and we did the pretest assessments this year for this academic year in the fall. It was really interesting to see when we because I didn't know what to expect. We saw about 44% of our kids actually increase their social emotional abilities or competencies. We also saw some regress, which you can expect as we discussed. But what does that mean? And again, I think the first step of it is just to get that baseline data. And then the now what? And the now what is opening it up to all of our wonderful programmers and saying, okay, help me discern this. What can we do about it? Again, we do a lot of this. We ask for success stories all the time. And I continuously get you know, how a kid came in and wasn't doing well, and now they're doing much better because of the interaction with the staff. So
we just got an email from Richard, mm-hmm. and he would like to know if the test is being done anywhere in Southeast Indiana that you're aware of.
Not to my knowledge, but that doesn't mean it isn't. There are a number of people who, if you're familiar with early childhood at all, and the DECA, the Devereaux Early Childhood Assessment, that's used widespread in multiple states. So this tool could be used in places that we're just not aware of yet.
So it is possible. And we have time for one quick question or comment. This is from Denny in Cincinnati. Hi, Denny. You've got about 30 seconds. Denny?
Yes.
Yes. What's your comment? You've got about 30 seconds.
Okay, fine. Well, my name is Denny McFadden, and I run an organization here in Cincinnati called Outdoor Adventures of Greater Cincinnati. And we do provide opportunities for a lot of urban teens to get out into nature, to have an opportunity to do things that they usually don't have an opportunity to do, like hiking and biking and camping and kayaking. And we've seen time and time again where kids who are struggling academically, socially, emotionally, who really excel at these opportunities. And they really, really, really do grow dramatically. And I just wanted those folks who were there on your program
to be aware of it. Yeah, Denny, we're out of time. Thank you so much. We appreciate your call. We've been talking about a new assessment to measure social emotional skills. My guests today were United Way of Greater Cincinnati Community Impact Director Patty Nagel-Kirk and Director of Kentucky Operations for the Boys and Girls Club of Greater Cincinnati, Bill Bresser. Cincinnati Edition is produced by Pete Reitmeier. Today's technical director was Rick Andres. Our engineering staff is Don Danko, Bill Dean, and Mike Makinich. We also had help today from Jim Nolan. Archives of our program are available on our website, wvxu.org. I'm Marianne Zalesnik.